The Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the Chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. Dear God, we can approach life and others as my life for me, or your life for me, or my life for yours. As Martin Luther King Jr. prayed, give us the intelligence to know your will, give us the courage to do your will, give us the devotion to love your will. I humbly pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, I'll take the roll.
This is your pencil.
We'll just excuse him. I know he's in the building, so when he comes, just ask.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Molnar is excused.
Quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. And Senator Molnar is in our attendance now, please. So if we can change that. Okay. Without objection, we'll go to order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are Committee on Finance and Claims. Report that Senate Bills 58 and 110 do pass. Senator Ryan Osmunson, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Highways and Transportation. Report that Senate Bill 125 do pass. Senator Gordon Vance, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Local Government. Report that Senate Bills 80 and 123 do pass as amended. Senator Terry Gauthier, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on State Administration. Report that Senate Bills 92 and 93 do pass. Senator Doug Terry, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Taxation. Report that Senate Resolution 6 and 8 be adopted. Senator Brian Hoven, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted.
Mr. President, we have an adverse committee report. We are Committee on Taxation. Report that Senate Resolution 7 be not adopted. Senator Brian Hoven, Chair.
Okay, members of the Senate, how I'd like to do this with procedure is this will be open for debate. We'll go first to the chair of the committee, and then we'll open it to anybody that would like to speak in regards to this committee report. And we will not have to have an objection. We will go to the board to vote on this. With that, I'll look to Senator Hoven.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, it's my understanding that the governor must forward to all the committees any interim appointee, that those nominations must be forwarded to the appropriate committee. Now, it's my belief that the new governor is entitled to his own choices to these committees. Therefore, to end this matter expeditiously, we need to have an adverse committee report so that the issue is decided and the governor can appoint a new person so that he can be confirmed during this session. Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Minority Leader Conner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask a question of the chair of the committee, if I could, please.
Senator Hoven, do you yield?
I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there a name that has already been put forward for this particular nomination? That has, if this one goes down, is there a name that's already been put forward?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohenour, not to my knowledge.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the Vice Chair the same question, if I might, please, if he would yield.
Senator Hertz, you yield?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So was a name preferred for this nomination before the hearing today?
Not to my knowledge.
Mr. Chairman, today in the committee, the vice chair did say something about the possibility that names were preferred before the committee hearing that we had today. This nomination today that we heard in the tax committee did not have any opponents. The individual has been serving in the role for more than 2 years, or almost 2 years. Today is not a fulfillment of the Synod's responsibility to evaluate candidates based on their qualifications and experience. It is apparently the first of many sham hearings where the decision has been made before these nominees even walk in the door. It seems that our Republican colleagues have been instructed to not give these nominees, folks who want to use their experience and their skills to provide public service to the people of Montana, a fair shake. I want to apologize to the people of Montana. They expect better of us. They are not going to have the best candidates for the job, but they're going to have the most political. And I want to apologize for us. Please vote no on this adverse committee report.
Further discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to the board. So a yes vote will confirm the adoption of the committee report, the standing committee report. A no vote would not. If you're in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Members, and I will state that just like with any other vote, within a 24-hour period under motions, there can be a motion to reconsider. So that can happen either on motions today or motions tomorrow on this resolution. Without objection, we'll go to our business number five, messages of the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives and from the Senate that the following House bills were on this day read three several times and passed. Title and history agreed to, and their heirs transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 31, Buttrey. House Bill 40, Curdy. House Bill 75, Putnam. House Bill 80, Seekins Crow. House Bill 93, Walsh. House Bill 95, Cheetah. House Bill 104, Malone. House Bill 112, Fuller. House Bill 163, Fielder. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 156 through 166, 169, Senate Resolutions 13 to 26, House Bills 31, 40, 75, 80, 93, 95, 104, and 163 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. Senate Bills 167 and 168 and House Bill 112 have been introduced and read. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
I've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. I'll appoint Senator McGilvery, Chairman of the Day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you for consideration Senate Bill number 18. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 18, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing certain high school students to meet the state minimum graduation credit requirement to receive a diploma from a district that has a higher credit requirement and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now before you Senate Bill number 18. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 18, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill brought forth at the request of the State Tribal Relations Interim Committee. And what it does, well, I'll run a by a couple of things. First, the Board of Public Education is our board that certifies the laws for education in Montana or makes the things that they need to do. And one of the things they do is say that you need 20 credits in various required areas like math, science, etc., to get a high school diploma in Montana. Most high schools in Montana require more than that because they've gone to more sections or more hours in the, not more hours in the day, more classes during the day. So they generally go anywhere from 22 to 24, even up to 26 credits are required for a graduate to get your diploma in certain high schools. This brings us to a situation where some kids have had a tough go of it. They have been, well, battered around. They've moved around. They've been passed from family to family, have had legal problems, maybe even some drug problems, etc. If you look on the second page, line one, they gives you a definition of educational disruption. And what we're trying to say is if a student, this is what this bill does, it says a student that matches or meets the Board of Public Education qualifications for a diploma in Montana should have an opportunity to get one, even though they don't meet the qualifications, in other words, the number of hours or credits that they need to graduate from certain high schools. And basically, folks, it boils down to a math problem. If a student's had a tough go of it, he's been bounced around, had problems getting the credits, and especially when you travel from school to school, it puts him at a significant disadvantage when it comes to the end of the year and you add up, well, you got this many credits this year, you do that four times, it's not enough. But sometimes it is, and I want to go back. I was on a school board for over a dozen years, and every meeting you get an enrollment report. And during, as the year goes on, usually about the end of the semester, you'll see a number of kids drop from the senior class. And you always ask why. Well, they can't get the number of credits that they need to graduate. It's just not possible for various reasons, some of which we call educational disruption. So this is an opportunity to save some of those kids who have enough credit, who have put in the time, they've just had a tough go of it, to get that high school diploma. And the question I ask is, well, how important is it for that student when they walk out and go up to their first job interview, their first time they want to go in the military, the first time they try to sign up for a community college, tribal college, one of the flagship universities, doesn't matter. What's one of the first questions they're asked? Do you have a diploma? So if this will allow some of these kids the opportunity to keep moving forward, this makes it a very good bill, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator would like to close. Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having entered consideration Senate Bill 18, it recommend the same do pass. Those made in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those who are opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change your vote? Not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. Senate Bill 18 has passed second reading. Senators, members of the Senate, please be in order. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 75. Clerk will retitle the bill.
Senate Bill 75, introduced by Solomon. A bill for an act entitled Act Revising and Clarifying School Funding Laws Related to Minimum Aggregate Hours and Unforeseen Emergencies, allowing instruction on a Saturday to make up instructional time lost due to an unforeseen emergency, redefining what constitutes a reasonable effort to make up instructional time lost due to an unforeseeable emergency, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill number 75. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 75, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is a little bit different. This was brought to us by what I will call the Education Coalition. And this bill was kind of looked at during March and April when schools were shut down due to the various issues that arose with the pandemic, et cetera. They were looking at some of these things over the summer and came to the conclusion that they want to make sure that the schools get paid even if they have to shut down for whatever, and in this case, unforeseen emergencies. So they brought this bill forward, and I guess we'll go to the why do they need it? Well, schools have this issue of pipes breaking, windows are broken, the heat doesn't come on, or worst case, they burn down. We had a school that I was within our district. We had to shut it down because it had an air problem, And we had to shut it down because of that for the health of the students. Well, in the middle of the season or in the middle of the school year, it's pretty tough. So there are days that you can't have school, and you need to make them up. And so there's unforeseen emergencies, which there's a definition in here, but that's basically fire, explosion, etc. There are several changes to this bill that are cosmetic. We change days to hours because that's the way things are done now. Entitlement to base aid because that's the way it's explained now. But the nexus of this bill is if you close down a school, first thing is a snow day. If any of you have students and have had kids, they all love a snow day. You get a free day out of school. Those don't have to be made up. Everybody gets one per year. After that, you have to start making these up. And it was kind of the will of the committee as they brought this to say you can't have an unlimited amount. In present law, you only have to make up three of those days, no matter if it's 3 days or 3 weeks. And so it was amended to say 75% of the days. And if you want more, the local trustees can adopt a resolution that says reasonable effort has been made, etc., and they can still get paid, which is important for the school districts because they have a budget and they have to pay their bills out of this budget, and if they don't get some of the money, well, it's a serious consideration for them. So this is basically what it came, but I call it the carrot and the stick with what we did in the committee. Some of the members said, okay, the carrot is you'll get your money. The stick is you have to go the 75 days. You can do that by extending the school year or taking up vacation days. That's one way. Another is extend the hours in a day, like from instead of getting out at 3, you can get out at 3:30. Or you can go to Saturday school, which is a little more tricky because state law says you can't force students to go, but you can offer the opportunity for education and students can make up their own mind. But that's the opportunity for the students to get the education and the school to keep receiving their funds and to make sure that the educational opportunity to the students is taken care of, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? The senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 75, that recommend the same do pass. Any in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. Senate Bill 75 is passed second reading. Members of the committee, please be in order. Now before you, Senate Bill 104. For your consideration, the clerk will read the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 104, introduced by Welborn. A bill for an act entitled Act adopting the Uniform Family Law Arbitration Act, providing for the arbitration of family law disputes, providing requirements for arbitration agreements, and initiating arbitration, providing for the qualification, selection, and disqualification of arbitrators, providing for party participation and protection for certain parties, providing for arbitrator powers and duties, providing for arbitration awards, and the correction, confirmation, amendment, or vacation of awards, providing for enforcement of awards, providing for appeals, and providing for arbitrators' immunity.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Objections?
Sections 1 through 29.
Members of the committee, you now before you, Senate Bill 104. What is your pleasure, Senator Welborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration that Senate Bill 104, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Welborn.
Thank you, members of the body. For the first time in a long time, I feel like I've traveled outside of my lane of the kind of bills that I normally carry, but after hearing some couple of pretty painful stories from folks at home, this seemed like the right thing to do. So what this law would do is put a tool in place in divorce cases, in family law cases, to use arbitration. Now they can use mediation, or the next remedy is to go see the district judge. And when parties are involved in a family law dispute, this means that their resolution is, like I said, either mediation or going to court. Many times it takes a long period of time for this matter to be heard by a judge in a already overtaxed court system. And also, when a family matter is heard by the court, it becomes a private matter, then becomes very public in most cases. Arbitration, as we are proposing in this, it is an entirely voluntary process. The parties would voluntarily agree to participate, and they would agree on who would be used as the arbitrator. The arbitrator would be skilled and experienced in the area of dispute, and they would have training in arbitration. They would hear from each of the parties and render a decision. It would what this seeks to do here. It would be it keeps these processes private. It involves less conflict, and in my mind, less conflict is always going to be a better outcome. But it's the children in these families that pay the biggest price. And again, in my estimation, the more we can do to help speed these things along and get people on with their lives, the better off we are. I'll stand down for questions.
Discussion of the motion, Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I rise to support this bill, and a good senator, and thank you for bringing it. You know, this is a really important bill. It really will make the process, which is often so difficult for families going through these kinds of turmoils, easier. The people who usually do this are attorneys, often retired judges, who will be trained by the National American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. This bill came to us with the support of the Uniform Law Commission and the Family Law Section of the Bar. And so I would ask your support for this bill. It's much needed in the state of Montana. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sands. Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the sponsor.
Sponsor, will you yield?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, so if you go to arbitration, I just want to make sure I understand this clearly. Are you bound at that time, or is there a way to then move it in a different direction?
That's correct. You're not bound. It's totally voluntary, and if the parties agree that down the road it does need to go to see a judge or go to court, they're still able to do that.
Thank you.
Senator Kerry.
Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Senator Wellborn.
Yes, I do.
Senator Wellborn, could you explain to the body just the difference between arbitration and mediation?
I may have to redirect that. I don't want to get this wrong, but it's somebody that understands. I had my head wrapped around this the other day, and if there's somebody else that could hop in here, because I truly don't want to take a stab at this.
Could I refer to, Mr. Chair, could I refer to Senator Fitzpatrick?
Yes, Senator Fitzpatrick.
Yes. Ask the question again so I make sure I've got it.
Good, Senator. The difference between arbitration and mediation.
Okay, thank you. That's a good question, Mr. Chairman. Senator Kerry, think of arbitration as kind of like a substitute for a court proceeding. Instead of going before a judge and having a judge make the ruling, you pick an arbitrator who basically does the same thing. He renders a decision, and then you would take it to a court and have the court confirm it as a judgment. So I think of it as a substitute instead of a trial. Mediation is a little bit differently. That's where you voluntarily come together and you have a lawyer who tries to broker a deal between the two of them. In a mediation, if you don't come to agreement, you don't come to an agreement, and life goes on. But arbitration, it's a substitute for a court proceeding, like I said. And the reason people like arbitration is because you can really reduce the amount of money you spend on attorney's fees. You don't have that formal process that you have in litigation. You can agree to only do so much discovery, to exchange so many documents. So arbitration is a nice tool, and especially in the family law context, I think this makes a lot of sense, because you'll get cases where, you know, people want to fight about everything. You know, they'll fight about the household fixtures, the tools, the cars, and you get very long proceedings. Going to arbitration just simplifies it, and it will reduce cost in many circumstances.
Thank you, Senator Fitzpatrick. Senator Kerry, did you want to add on? Your light's still on, I think. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is not my specialty either, but I do have my notes from the hearing. And for me, what really stuck out, the difference between mediation and arbitration, In mediation, there's a neutral third party that facilitates the discussion between the parties, whereas in arbitration, it's somebody who has actual training and some sort of legal background. So it's a little bit higher level. I just thought I would offer that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Grohl. Senator Fitzpatrick, do you want to speak to the bill here? Okay. Senator Sands, do you? Your light's still on. And Senator Gross? Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Senator Wellborn, you'd like to close. Senator Wellborn has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 104, that it recommend the same do pass. Is many in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those who oppose, vote no. Does any member wish to change her or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote. Seeing that 50 senators having voted aye and zero voted no, Senate Bill 104 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now before you Senate Bill 40. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 40, introduced by Ellis, a bill for an act entitled an act adding members to the Montana Invasive Species Council amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, now before you Senate Bill 40, what is your pleasure, Senator Ellis?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 40, recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman and members of the body, Senate Bill 40 basically revises the voting membership of what is called the Montana Invasive Species Council, or MISC. As you all know, we need to be as effective and efficient as possible in this state, with a state so big, working on invasive species issues. And what this does is add two people to the body that oversees and all these programs. In 2017, the Montana legislature developed MISC, this body, to oversee and bring people together who are working on invasive species. And the two entities that are being added today do attend these meetings routinely. They just aren't voting members. And so this would allow them to vote on budgets and priorities and all those sorts of things. First, the Department of Livestock. Why them? The Department of Livestock in 2017, the Montana legislature put them in charge of feral swine. And I want to make sure you know that there are no feral swine that have been discovered in the state, of Montana yet. But Department of Livestock, because of that role they play, they do attend MISC meetings already. Secondly, in 2017, the Montana legislature also established the Upper Columbia Conservation Commission, and that body works on aquatic invasive species in the Columbia River Basin, basically west of the divide. These two entities would be added to MISC so that they could vote. There is a fiscal note. It's $1,100, which isn't much, but I did do a sponsor rebuttal on the fiscal note because the coordinator of the Montana Invasive Species Council said that that entity has money for travel and they will absorb any travel costs from any new members. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I ask for a do pass and I'm open for discussion and questions.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the Senator want to close?
I close.
Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Ellis that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 40, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 45 senators vote aye, 5 senators vote nay.
with 45 senators voting aye and 5 voting no, Senate Bill 40 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have now before you for your consideration SR4, Senator Wellborn. What is your pleasure? Or excuse me, it's quick. We try to read the title of the bill.
Senate Resolution 4, introduced by Wellborn, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, consenting to the appointment of the Director of DEQ made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 5th, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1.
Members of the committee, now before you, SR4. What is your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution Number 4.
Senator
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for the this appointment is for the Director of Department of Environmental Quality. The appointee put forward by the governor is Christopher J. Dorrington. We had a great hearing. There were a lot of people come in the room, and they all had equally complimentary things to say about Mr. Dorrington, but everybody had a different reason for supporting him. But I think the collective thing that I heard more than anything else, he's a fantastic public servant. He's a good leader. He's respected by the people that he works with. He has served in private industry as well as he worked at the Department of Transportation before moving to environmental quality. Personally, I've worked with Mr. Dorrington on some constituent service type issues, and I know that the people at home that have worked with his department have been treated very fairly, very squarely, and they one of my constituents' words to me were, that's the way government is supposed to work, thank you. But I think over and above all of this, one of Chris's neighbors told me in a private conversation about how he is very well respected in his community. He coaches his kids' sports teams. He's a good family man. And he has a life that is very well respected outside of public service. So I would ask you to join me in supporting Chris Dorrington for this appointment.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, will the senator like to close? Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 4, recommend the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye, 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. Senate Resolution 4 has passed second reading. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
Heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Motion carries.
Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bills 18, 40, 75, 104 do pass. Senate Resolution 4 be adopted.
Senator McGilvery.
Move the adoption of the committee report.
For the motion of Senator McGilvery, all those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Does every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator McGilvery. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 101, introduced by Smith, a bill for an act entitled Provide for the Direct Patient Care Safe Harbor Act.
Senate Bill 101, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, and 14 senators haven't no. Voting no, Senate Bill 101 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 3, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled Supplemental Appropriations Bill.
House Bill 3, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 44 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
44 senators haven't voted aye, and 6 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 3 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to our business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow, 10 o'clock, executive action. 10 o'clock, executive action.
Senator Hovind.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Tax will meet at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Local government will meet Friday, 10 minutes after we convene or end the floor session on Friday. One bill.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll have business and labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Highways and Transportation this afternoon at 3 p.m. in room 405.
Senator Cuff.
Long-range planning, room 317B, 8:30 tomorrow morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, President.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Fish and Game today at 3 o'clock and 422, executive action.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Telecommunications Energy will meet at 3 and 317. Section C, Natural Resource Subcommittee, will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning in 317C.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate State Admin will not be meeting tomorrow. Thank you.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Ag will meet today at 3 o'clock, three executives bills, and then tomorrow morning, Section A, General Government, will meet at 8 o'clock, room 350.
Further announcements? I'm seeing none. Members, I just want to remind everybody that tonight is the State of the State. We've made accommodations. The governor has invited everyone to come. For those that don't feel comfortable being in the House chambers, we will stream it live onto this TV for folks that want to social distance and stay in the Senate chambers. For those members that are participating remotely, you will not have to sign up through Zoom. It will be through a Facebook Live so that members that want to watch through that are allowed to do that as well. And I believe the State of the State rebuttal will be take place in the Supreme Court chambers directly after the State of the State. With that, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, could I ask that we go back to motions?
Oh, without objection, we'll go to our business number 9, motions.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to re-refer Senate Bill 150, revised seatbelt regulations, from Senate Judiciary Committee to Senate Transportation. The sponsor of the bill is Senator Diane Sands, and both committee chairs have agreed to the move.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I move that the Senate recess until 6:50 and reconvene at that time for the Senate for the State of the State address.
For the motion, Senator Smith, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 6:50 p.m.
That was interesting.